You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
His name will live in history. It will live in the annals of war. It will live in the legends of Arabia.
Lawrence of Arabia.
What, in your opinion, do these people hope to gain from this war?
They hope to gain their freedom. They're going to get it, Mr. Bentley. I'm going to give it to them.
Come on, men!
This is Mike Emery at Perfection Auto Works, your oasis in the auto repair desert since 1994. People drive cars to get what they bring, freedom. Freedom to travel. Perfection Auto Works ensures that freedom by keeping your car in shape to go anywhere at any time. 323-8650. That's 323-8650 or perfectionautoworks.com.
If you love Arizona, you want to be informed about our state and local politics, but you don't often see your progressive values in Arizona's media. BlogForArizona.net is designed for you. For 15 years, BlogForArizona.net has political news, opinion, and events for Arizona's liberals. BlogForArizona.net is always free, always independent, and always left. Please visit BlogForArizona.net today and every day.
Together, they've brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The bread and the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite, and Guigny's French Cafe offers casual atmosphere, delightful French cuisine, and moderate prices. Dine in or dine out, Guigny's is just perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering specialty coffees, lattes, French wines, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery in the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have now become Tucson's destination to dine in or to take out.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you and good afternoon from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum, which is the most talked to, talked about, and listened to weekend political talk show in all of Arizona. Thank you for making that possible. Great lineup of guests today. Steve Kasachek, Ward 6 Councilman, says he runs again for a fourth term. He has opposition this time around. We'll talk with him about it. Pam Powers Hanley, the progressive voice of Arizona, a member of the Arizona House of Representatives, talks about an open assault on voter registration in the state of Arizona. Jim Hanley talks about the financing during the COVID-19 crisis. It's all in part of this March 6th edition of the John C. Scott Political Forum. With us, Steve Kasachek. Hi, Steve.
How's it going, John?
It's going very well. Thank you so much. I appreciate you being on the show. We've got Tim Stiller writing. A city councilman, Steve Kasachek, pushed back on Mayor Reina Romero after she came out this past week in favor of pausing the controversial Reed Park Zoo expansion. Romero, in a written statement, had pointed to Kasachek, without naming him, as an obstacle to resolving the land use conflict over the park's South Duck Pond and Brahmin Hill. What do you think? Are you an obstacle?
You know, first of all, you don't pause a contract. You suspend a contract. She does not have the unilateral authority to suspend legally binding contracts. So that the Star got it wrong in their story. Now, Stellar was right in the way he wrote it, but the article itself, the opening sentence in the article said that the city had paused the project. That was just factually incorrect, and they never corrected it in the Star. Secondly, I have been working with, first of all, just a little by way of background. In 2017, the voters approved Proposition 202 and 203. That provided a funding source for capital expansion, capital improvements, maintenance, and operations of the zoo. For the next year, this mayor and council, while Reina was the Ward 1 council member, worked on the master plan, the Reed Park Zoo master plan. We held more than 8 public meetings. It was on the TV. I had it in my newsletter. It was in the Star. There was lots of social media coverage over it. We had extensive public outreach over the course of the next year. In September of 2018, while she was a council member, the improvement of the master plan, which is right now what we're talking about implementing and beginning construction on, was on our agenda for approval. She said that she had not had enough time to study it, so we delayed it for another 2 weeks. We came back, and she made the motion to approve exactly what she's throwing a flag on right now, the Asia expansion of the Reed Park Zoo. 3 years, for 3 consecutive years following that vote, we have approved a capital budget at the mayor and council. She has been involved in every single one of those votes and approved every single one of those votes, giving clear direction to the Zoological Society to move forward with this expansion project. We are now at a point where we have Lloyd Construction under contract. We have Torrey Design under contract for design. Swayman Associates, local architect, under design for the design of the thing. And they're ready to start the project within a couple of weeks. And all of a sudden, because we get some people who are concerned about the loss of that space, show up and say, we never heard about it, all of a sudden we have to stop everything in its wheels. So I began three or four weeks ago with the city manager, the parks director, and some of the members of the Zoological Society working on an alternate plan where we can provide a new and improved public amenity within Reed Park, immediately adjacent to the remaining duck pond. It's a retention pond that'll have a water feature, water conservation, educational components, a waterfall, more trees than are there now than right now, walking paths and all that. That's in play. And she knows I've been working on that with the parks director and the rest of those people. And so for her to come out and say that I haven't been able to resolve this, number one, there is a group of people who simply their resolution to this is to stop the project and preserve this Barnum Hill and the South Retention Pond. That's a non-starter. We've signed contracts. And if this council and she want to simply tell Lloyd Construction, the Zoological Society, we changed our mind 4 years after the fact, and after this group has, this council and the mayor have approved it at least 4 times in public votes, then we ought to get sued. We ought to get sued for breach of contract. We have already spent over $2 million on this thing. Those dollars are gone. The Zoological Society has gone out and, based on our votes, has raised over $4 million in support of this project. John, tell me, who is going to do business with this city if, when we sign on the dotted line, 3 years later, we reserve the right to turn around and say we changed our mind? Well, and what nonprofit is going to be able to go out and get donors to support projects that we're involved with when the donors know that, hey, they've got a history of pulling the rug out from under them? I mean, it's just bad faith all over the place and smacks of Rio Nuevo, where this city started something, stopped it, put the plans on the shelf, and moved on and to the next project. That's what this is all about. And to me, if this council next Tuesday decides to suspend this project, whether it's for 1 day, 30 days, or permanently, it will be the worst vote that they will have made in terms of the image and the integrity of this governing body, sending a message to all groups in this community that you can't trust us.
Well, this mayorship of Regina Romero is an unmitigated disaster, but that's my opinion, not necessarily yours. Let me ask you one more thing. The people that want Barnum Hill preserved want a gathering place. You've provided that in the alternative. You have provided everything they want in the alternative. What the hell is this all about beyond accommodation of what they want?
This community has a history, and this city government has a history of starting something, and when people protest, we capitulate and change direction. At some point, in the political process, in the public policy process, you've got to simply own your votes, say we had the conversation 3 years ago, I'm sorry you missed it, that doesn't mean it didn't happen. And I'm not trying to be nasty to the people who are concerned about losing Barnum Hill in this space. And if I were, I wouldn't even have begun working on the alternate piece that we talked about. So I am fully prepared, and I've already made it public. I'm going to make it public again next Tuesday, show the rendering, the schematic of what's being contemplated. It's not going to be free for the city. It's going to cost us money as well. And so it's added dollars. Let the people participate in the design conversation about this new amenity. But what we can't do is say, because you protested, we're going to start breaking contracts and going back on our word, because the implications of that for the trustworthiness of this mayor and council going forward are immeasurably bad.
All right, let's talk about the campaign of 2021. You were elected to the council in 2009. I was much younger then, by the way. I want you to know that.
You were considerably younger than
considerably younger. You've got Nina Traceoff running a campaign for a lady that's running against you. You beat Nina Traceoff pretty severely in your campaign to win your first seat on the city council. I guess if she's saying I can't do it, maybe I can find somebody who can. Get a Miranda Schubert, I guess her name is. I'm not sure. I don't know her very well. I think she's a personality on one of the radio stations. What about this campaign? I don't know anybody that's worked harder. I don't know anybody that's cared more. I don't know anybody that's listened to more people, attended more meetings, spent more hours beyond what you would think would be a normal responsibility of a city council person than you over all these years. And I've watched a lot of city council people in 50 years. I know what the hell I'm talking about. And it would be a damn disaster if you didn't win this thing. But what about this campaign? I know you take it seriously.
Well, I do, of course. And I'm sorry Nina can't get over losing 12 years ago, but at some point I would have hoped that she would simply sit back and take a look at what has happened for the last 12 years and say, well, you know what, the guy's doing a good job. But I guess that's not within her ego makeup. I welcome Miranda Schubert, I guess is her name, to the race. This is a democratic process. She'll have to earn her way onto the ballot the same way everybody else does, the same way I'm having to, and that's fine. But what we're going to be talking about is a lot of constituent service work. And over the course of a decade, you build relationships, and people in the neighborhoods that you represent, they either come to trust you or they come to say the guy's not representing us. And I'm pretty certain that based on the work that my office and I do in terms of outreach into the community, we're going to hear a lot of people stepping forward saying, why would we want to change that right now? In addition to that, though, I think people have seen that I'm perfectly willing to grab a hold of that third rail in terms of issues. We're talking about significant water contamination issues in the Midtown area right now, that I'm the one who reached out to a D.C. law firm and had them fly out to Tucson to meet with our attorneys, and we've begun a litigation against 3M and some of the manufacturers. That's a significant issue. You think back to Flint, Michigan, and how some of those politicians hid their head in the sand, and we know the history. We are right now in the midst of finalizing a significant zoning overlay for the Broadway widening that would not have happened had not been for my advocacy. This is going to be the first overlay in the city of Tucson's history that has a component for affordable housing built into it, as well as significant retail and preservation of historic buildings. So that's a big deal. I am right now front and center fighting with the telecom companies about trashing out the fronts of people's homes with 5G cell poles, something that both the FCC and the state legislature have tried to take our voice out of. So I'm being that voice. And so I welcome her to the campaign. I understand she was pretty adamant about defunding the police last year. I'm not going to be supporting something like that. Our police force is woefully short on officers right now, and we need to do what we can to support that agency and not give them cause to jump to other agencies in the region.
So I'm running out of time, but I want you to have an opportunity about 6-7 minutes to explain the combination of government and the private sector and what happened with the monastery on Country Club. It was probably the most successful. I want to take a break, and I'm going to come back. Come back and tell me how that happened and why it was so successful. And it could have been an unmitigated disaster, but it was a blend of government support, private enterprise being protected, and a neighborhood that benefited greatly from what eventually will be that project. Let's take a quick break. Back with Steve Kostacek, Ward 6 Councilman, running again for another 4-year term on the John C. Scott Political Forum. From Perfection Auto Works Studios, back in a moment.
Hi, my name is Jim Hanley. I was born and raised in Tucson, and I raised my own boys here. I want to get to know you, your dreams and goals, and help you shape them into a plan for success. I've been helping hundreds of Tucson families do this since 1993. It takes experience and know-how to navigate the rocky shoals of the financial markets and keep you on an even keel. I look at every account I manage every day to find opportunities to grow your nest egg, to make you at ease and enjoying your life. I want to show you the highest integrity and reliability you can find anywhere. That's why I named my business with my own name, Jim Hanley LLC, and why I'm a member of the CFA Society of Tucson. Find me at jimhanleyllc.com or call me at 623-3646. That's 623-3646. Jim Hanley LLC is a registered investment advisor and a member of FINRA SIPC.
Since 1968, Ackerley Advertising has helped companies, restaurants, schools, churches, and nonprofit organizations manage their advertising. Hello, I'm William Ackerley, production manager at Ackerley Advertising. Right now, my brother, Dr. Ed Ackerley, and I are offering an awesome 50% discount on video production. We can help you tell your unique story with an affordable television commercial or video for your website and social media advertising. Give Ackerley Advertising a call or visit ackerleyadvertising.com.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 South Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the Ina Road location, making this Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in all of Arizona. Homestyle Galleries saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved home furnishings into cash. Visit Homestyle Gallery Store at 2950 South Ina Road. They are open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square foot superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location at 2950 South Ina Road, Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Steve Kostacek, Ward 6 Councilman, is with us 3.5 minutes to explain why it works so well, this restoration of the monastery, as well as a development within the heart of Tucson. The missionary, the monastery place is a very marvelous, wonderful place on Country Club. Tell me how that happened.
Well, originally the nuns had to sell the property, a little over 6 acres in Midtown, Speedway and Country Club area. It was purchased by a local developer who had the right by the existing zoning to simply have the property demolished, have the monastery demolished, and turn it into student housing. That was what he could have done by right, 4-story student housing. Around 600 to 700 students living on the property. He and I met early on, and we had at the time quite a contentious exchange. And shortly after that, I brought to the mayor and council what was sort of a game of chicken. And I said to the mayor and council, let's adopt a resolution that says we are going to designate that monastery as an historic landmark to prevent it from being demolished. Now, at the time, it was a gambit. At the time, he could have sued us, and it would have been dragged out in court. And ultimately, in 3 or 4 years, he probably would have won and then begun his project. Instead of that, we began some very serious negotiations about what the project should be. incorporated in the midst of all those design elements was the preservation of the monastery. We are now 3 years down the road from that. The site is under construction. The monastery is designated, a historic landmark. It will be preserved in perpetuity. And instead of student housing, he's putting up four-rent market-rate condos that are going to be high-end, and he's already getting people asking for applications to move in and lease. The interior of the monastery will have a public use. I understand he's talking to some restaurateurs, also for some of those lease workspace for the people who don't want to have to go and rent an entire office. He'll have a gym downstairs and a bike repair shop, that kind of stuff. It will be a community amenity. It could have been a student housing project. It will be here forever. It could have been demolished.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Those are really the talking points that people need to understand, is that sometimes you got to have somebody who's willing to throw down in order to get to a good result, and that's what I did.
Well, it's just another example of the effectiveness of somebody who cares about being a city council person, works hard at trying to listen to the constituents and to do the right thing. And that has been really the entire history of you on the council. That's why people ought to reelect you for another 4 years. I'm out of time. It's good to talk with you. Glad to have you on the show, and glad you're a city councilman. I hope you will remain so for as long as you like. Thank you so much for being on our show today. 10 seconds.
I appreciate it. It's always good to talk to you, and say hi to Pamela.
I will do that so much. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks.
Well, from Professional Network Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. We will return with Pamela Powers Hanley, the progressive voice of the Arizona legislature, one of the brightest and most outspoken lawmakers in the history of the state of Arizona. Pam Powers Hanley, next on the John C. Scott Political Forum.
Keep this coach going, Pilgrim, no matter what.
Cam, we roll right into a trap. There's a cliff right ahead.
Well, steer her around.
I can't. The steering's out.
Well, then hit the brakes.
No brakes.
Well, I thought I gave orders to have this coach serviced at Perfection Auto Works for their 26-point inspection, Pilgrim.
Well, we took it to Tombstone Stagecoach Repair for their 2-point inspection. Here comes that cliff.
Well, it's every man for himself.
Doggone it, that coach went flying off the cliff. How did you ever survive that?
Well, I have a lot more pictures to make, Pilgrim.
Hello, Mike Emery from Perfection Auto Works.
Get out of here, dog nabbit, you varmint. You talk too much. Just take your car to Perfection Auto Works, 323-8650, or perfectionautoworks.com.
Tucson attorney Jeff Rogers is one of the most respected lawyers in Arizona. Jeff is the attorney other lawyers refer when they can't handle the case. The lawyer you choose can make all the difference. When your freedom, finances, or livelihood is at stake, choose the law firm recommended by other law firms. The Jeff Rogers Law Firm is rated preeminent by Martindale Hubbell, the highest award to recognize excellence in American law practice. Call the Jeff Rogers Law Firm at 624-4700. Law offices at 177 North Church Avenue.
As a business owner, you're responsible for the growth, leadership, and the daily operation of your business. This includes your interaction and advocacy for your customers. Tucson Business Owners, Inc. offers you the opportunity to educate and advocate about community policies affecting profitability. By becoming a member of Tucson Business Owners, Inc., you can have an effect on common issues, such as curb appeal, municipal budget priorities, and keeping a vibrant workforce in the area. For more information, visit TucsonBusinessOwners.org.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. With us is the progressive voice of Arizona. Member of the State House of Representatives, here is Pamela Powers Hanley. Hi, Pam. How you doing?
Good. How are you, John?
There is an open assault by the Republican majority of the House and the Senate to make it inaccessible, the right of so many people in the state of Arizona to actually vote. I don't know whether people realize what's going on up there, but this is a dangerous, dangerous series of pieces of legislation that could inhibit people from voting for decades to come.
Oh, I know. It is. You're right. It's dangerous, and it's going full speed ahead. I mean, it's just disgusting. Last week and the week before, I think the House passed you know, in the neighborhood of 30 voter suppression bills or bills attacking the citizens initiative process. You know, it's really awful, you know, and it's like, I think our only hope is passing H.R. 1 in the Congress, you know, because Arizona has the most voter suppression bills of any state. You know, we're number one in that for sure. But Georgia and other red states are going right in line with us and passing everything they could think of to make it harder to vote. You know, 87% of the Republicans and 84% of the Democrats voted in Arizona in 2020, and they want to get it back to like 37% or so where it was in the 90s because too many people are voting, and it's just awful.
Well, too many people are voting for Democrats is what the Republicans are thinking, and they're thinking if they can reduce that number, they'll reduce the opportunities of Democrats to hold office, and that's what this is all about. They got hammered in elections all across this country, including the presidency of the United States, as well as Congress and the Senate. Now they're simply saying, we've got to stop these people from voting, or we're never going to be able to take back the White House, the Senate, the House of Representatives, and to keep the control of legislatures all across this country. I don't see anything to stop this. You may be right. There may be only one federal hope in order to stop it, because they have the votes to do it. And, you know, that's what bothers me. You are short one vote in the House, if I'm not mistaken, two in the Senate to stop this. And that's how far away you are.
I know. It's awful. The thing is, I mean, you rightfully acknowledge the Democratic wins in 2020. Unfortunately, the red states where Republicans maintain control of the legislature, they are doubling down. They don't want 2020 to happen again. You know, I mean, yes, they're upset about Trump losing and Biden winning and things like that. But they really are just flabbergasted that Prop 208 passed, you know. And they are doing everything they can to, you know, not have to have, you know, rich people pay that fee for public education. I mean, it's disgusting what's going on up there. I mean, I really feel for the people, the Democrats who are on the Government and Elections Committee in the House. You know, they probably have PTSI after hearing all these horrible ideas and vote, and, you know, they're debating them in committee and then hearing this all, you know, rehashed, you know, on the floor of the House. I mean, you know, they deserve, they're all women. They deserve, like, I don't know what, a day at the spa. I don't want to sound sexist, but I mean, they deserve our positive thoughts and our encouragement. People like Stephanie Stahl Hamilton and Athena Salmon and Jennifer Pollack, and I'm missing some others, but they did the yeoman's job in, you know, educating our caucus on how bad these ideas are and then debating them, you know, very astutely on the floor. I mean, so we had great, great defenders out there, but, you know, these people have that whole stop the steal mentality still, you know, and that's how they're acting. They don't want to be in jeopardy of their seats in the future, so they're going to double down on everything.
You've called for
even things like getting a paper ballot notarized, you know.
Sure.
Felony charges against poll workers and against, you know, people who work for the recorder's office. I mean, it's just nuts.
By the way, Representative Fincham, you've had him targeted for a long time and to be removed. Are you any closer to getting rid of this guy?
You know, I don't know what's going on with that, you know, because all of the Democrats in the legislature, the House and the Senate Democrats, sent that, you know, letter to the federal, you know, Judiciary Department with very specific, you know, here he was at this point and this time and saying, you know, you need to investigate this guy.
On January 6th,
then,
right, yeah.
Yeah, and for the January 6th for his, you know, fanning the flames in advance of the event and his, you know, what he said on social media, right? And then I think there's more than 25, maybe 50-ish ethics complaints against him in the House that have pretty much all been, you know, put into the circular file because they're trying to protect him, you know. And then, you know, so, and then he had a suit against all the Democrats, and he was asking for all of our emails and, you know, text messages, like we were plotting against him. I mean, it's, you can't make this stuff up, you know.
Well, I've seen a lot of people serve in that legislature. He's one of the worst. He's absolutely one of the worst.
He's quiet these days.
Well, I know that, but you know, he was in the Capitol on January 6th. He participated in the insurrection in some form or another. He ought to be called to account for that. This legislature should hold him to account for his activities during that horrible moment in our history. I don't see the Republicans doing that, and I'm not sure the Democrats, again, have the power to exercise any kind of action against them, even though I know you're trying.
Yeah, well, they're just going to ignore it, it looks like.
Well, you talk about guns and abortion and voter rights, and the Republicans have been ramming through pieces of legislation one after another. This could absolutely be a terrible setback for the state of Arizona. This legislative session scares the living hell out of me.
I know. It's interesting because there are more bipartisan votes, but that's because, the conservative but not radical Republicans realize that there are some things that we should do. Like, for example, we had a bipartisan vote to say that, yes, Joe Biden will take those federal child care subsidies. Thank you very much. If they had to rely on the Republicans, we wouldn't be getting that federal money. We'd be going back to, remember, 10 years ago when the Republicans were like, no, we don't want any federal money. And then they'd say, oh, you just have to suck it up and we are going to have austerity now. And so at least we are saying yes to the aid that's being offered our citizens, and we are, voting some good education bills through, but there is a lot of bad stuff going through.
Sure. This has been a disastrous legislative session. Listen, we're out of time here, but it's so good to get an update from you. Keep fighting the good fight. You're a great champion for me and for a great many people.
All right. Thanks a lot, John. Talk to you later.
Good to talk with you. My favorite lawmaker, Pamela Powers Hanley, period. My favorite lawmaker. And if you follow her career, you will understand why. Jim Hanley's coming up next. He's our financial expert. We'll talk about what's going to happen with the so-called relief of American taxpayers. And we do, in fact, believe that there's going to be some money coming your way if you qualify for more aid during these very difficult times. The relief bill. We'll talk about that with Jim Hanley, as well as what's going on with the stock market. As a late rebound of technology companies pull the stock market out of a slump and help give the S&P 500 its first weekly gain in 3 weeks. We'll talk with Jim in a moment. Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 South Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the Ina Road location, making this Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in all of Arizona. Homestyle Galleries saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved home furnishings into cash. Visit Homestyle Gallery Store at 2950 South Ina Road. They are open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square foot superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location at 2950 South Ina Road, Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
Since 1968, Ackerley Advertising has helped companies, restaurants, schools, churches, and nonprofit organizations manage their advertising. Hello, I'm William Ackerley, production manager at Ackerley Advertising. Right now, my brother, Dr. Ed Ackerley, and I are offering an awesome 50% discount on video production. We can help you tell your unique story with an affordable television commercial or video for your website and social media advertising. Give Ackerley Advertising a call or visit AckerleyAdvertising.com.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Receiving the right financial advice during these difficult times can make all the difference. This is a time to be Jim Hanley. Jim owns financial advisory company with his name, Jim Hanley. And he administers millions of dollars through his customer accounts, small enough to offer personal representation, but large enough to offer a myriad of opportunities to protect and grow your investments. Jim Hanley at 623-3646. Here's Jim. Jim, obviously, we've got this relief bill that has cleared the Senate back to the House. Wouldn't be any changes, I would think, of any significant nature to have to send it back to the Senate. But checks should be flowing. How important is that to the immediate economy? crisis that we face in America today?
Well, John, it's vital to the recovery, to help to mitigate the recession that still threatens us. I was looking at the job numbers yesterday. There's 18 million Americans who would normally be in the workforce that are not in the workforce. Productivity is down 4.2%. It's the worst since 1947. And so we have to do everything we can to get back to speed as quickly as possible in order to, you know, prevent even a Great Depression, you know, from happening. So it's vitally important. This, as former Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke told the CFA Society's Western Regions a week ago, this is not stimulus money. It's not economic stimulus money as much as it is a remedy for tens of millions of Americans who, through no fault of their own, are not working. If they're not working, they can't pay their bills. And so millions and millions are behind in their rent, possibly months behind in their rent. For those who are buying homes, they're threatened with foreclosures if they get more than 3 months behind in their payments. And so this $1,400 is vitally important to keep those disasters from happening widespread. Now, I think that the compromises that the Democrats had to make in order to prevent a filibuster on the bill are fairly mild. One of the compromises that was made was to remove the raise in the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. That's a fight that we're going to wage another time, maybe even this year, because, as I mentioned on the show, raising the minimum wage and getting the minimum wage up around the country will help to increase productivity. It will help to put consumer dollars back into the economy, and to help to get us back on track quickly. The other minor concession that was made was to reduce the supplemental unemployment compensation from $400 a week to $300 a week. I think that's fairly minor. And there was one more. Oh, I think it was the means testing on the check that, you know, it was fairly generous. The first one, the CARES Act, I think people that were making more than $100,000 a year got a big check, along with people who are making $18,000 a year. So this means test is such that if you're making $80,000 or more per year, an individual, you will get no check. Households of 160 combined gets no checks. There's some cases more than two breadwinners in a household. But if you're making up to $75,000 as an individual, $150,000 in a household, you will get the full amount of the of the check, the $1,400 check.
And you think this is significant, isn't it, to this economy now? And Biden continues to stress it is imperative because there's a short fuse here with this economy, and he says it's needed now, not next week, not next month, now.
It's remedial. I think that, you know, not only are people behind in rents and mortgage payments, but many of them have been struggling to make health insurance premium payments as well. A lot of people are on very expensive maintenance drugs. They can't afford to lose their health insurance. And yet, by getting disconnected from their employers, even temporarily, and that's interesting that a great number of people who are filing for claims are doing so under a layoff, under a temporary separation from work. But normally when that happens, the employer stops making their share of premium payments, and the individual is offered COBRA, which will guarantee them their continued insurance, but the individual typically has to make the employer's portion of the premium plus their own, and that any discount that you know might have been made by the insurer to the employer is lost. And so anybody who's ever separated from their job and been offered COBRA knows that it's nearly impossible to pay those premiums, particularly because when you have just lost your job, you know. So this bill contains, wonderfully, it contains a provision so that people who lose their workplace provided health insurance are offered COBRA, but the COBRA becomes the burden of the federal government. And so we're going to have tens of millions of people who may have lost their health insurance will be able to continue to be insured by this provision.
Well, this is life-saving for quite many people. Quickly, I have 2 minutes, and I'd like for you to respond to this. You have a late rebound in technology companies that pull the stock market out of its slump and help give the S&P 500, I think it was the first weekly gain in about 3 weeks. Just a comment on the market, Jim. Got 2 minutes.
Yeah, John, you know, as I prepare for the show, I got a little bit confused or worried about my numbers. Looks to me like the Dow was up 564 points for the week. I thought that the Nasdaq was down, but I'm not real sure about the numbers for the Nasdaq. And I'll take your word for it that there was a late rally. It seemed to happen on my board, you know, as I looked through my accounts late Friday afternoon. Looked like I have a lot of these micro caps, and I have tech mutual funds, and it did look like they were back up Friday afternoon after a really terrible Thursday. They really turned down Thursday, and it looked like they had bounced back up Friday. So I think with the passage of the Stimulus Act, I call it a stimulus, it's remediation, but with the passage of the American Rescue Plan, which is what the formal name is, going back to the House, we're going to see a big Monday, I think, and possibly through the week we'll see really good numbers in the financial markets.
Jim, I want to thank you so much. I want people to call you 623-3646, but there's a ton of information online at jimhanleyllc.com. Jim Hanley, that's Hanley, JimHanley.com. I am so impressed.
It's LLC, John.
That's
JimHanleyLLC.com.
Exactly right. Okay. JimHanleyLLC.com. Tremendous amount of information, and I'm so impressed with your website. I'm so impressed, and people will be as well.
Oh, glad to hear that, John.
So really, it's really remarkable what you've done.
I hope they'll come over and visit it.
I hope they will, too. I hope you have a great rest of the weekend. Thanks for being with us. I appreciate it.
Okay, my pleasure, John. Bye-bye.
I want to thank Mike Emery as our prime sponsor of the John C. Scott Political Forum at Perfection Auto Works. I've had this great two-year relationship with him repairing my cars, both of them, and doing so with one, an absolute unbelievable reduction in what I thought it would cost to fix these cars, and with an absolute trust that I have with Jim Hanley, with Mike Emery now, because at Perfection Auto Works, they just do it right. Mike Emery is just an amazing guy, and Perfection Auto Works is an amazing company to have your car repaired. Have a great weekend, everybody. From Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. I want to thank Steve Kosacek, Pamela Powers Hanley, Jim Hanley, for making our show so interesting today. Thanks for listening, everyone.
This is Mike Emery at Perfection Auto Works. One of the first diagnostic tools of a good mechanic is his nose.
radiator, transmission, and brake fluids all have distinctive smells. So a good starts the process. We don't put masks on our mechanics so they can do their job of detecting and fixing car problems. We don't mask your car symptoms either. When your car has an electrical, air conditioning, or even that funky smell in the interior with the AC on, like hound dogs, we sniff those problems out. And all without a mask. Call today, 323-8650. Air conditioning, brakes, tires, complete auto repair, foreign and domestic. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.